everybody. Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 180 on December 26th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And don't forget, there's an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys that can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and Entice Me is having a sale that's going to go all the way until December 30th, so that's 4 more days. And you know how much you can get off of your purchase with this coupon code that I'm going to give you? 25%. So, you know, for all of you who missed out on the Thanksgiving one, now we've got a Christmas sale, end of the year sale, 25% off of your purchase. And the coupon code is Vibe Higher, VIBEHIGHER. I'm not sure if it is a case-sensitive coupon code, but the way she's got it written up on her website is capital V-I-B as in boy, E, like vibe, like, you know, vibrator, Vibe Higher, as in lower higher, and the H is capitalized too, so Vibe Higher at checkout. From now until December 30th, it is almost site-wide. There's just a few things that it won't apply to, like things on sale and a few big-ticket items, but you know what? I checked out the Haas, everybody. The Haas, if you're not familiar with it, is a Tantus enormous dildo, black with balls on it, gorgeous silicone creation that I wrote a review about, and I'll link to that review in the Linkorama for you size kings out there. This is your chance, 25% off that baby. That is a lot of savings. So just in case you were looking at some big ticket items, go and see if that coupon code works. That's the only one I checked, but if you're looking at other big ticket items, feel free to check whatever you want and go shopping. Okay, so what else is happening? So for the upcoming podcasts, the special ones, you have until January 6th to get in your stories about cross-dressing. And the next one is going to be in February, which is February 10th is the deadline for bisexual stories. I'll repeat that in every podcast just in case you forget. And if you want a refresher or some inspiration for questions to answer, things like that, just go to my blog and on the right-hand side, there'll be a link that says upcoming podcasts. It'll go into more detail about a few questions here and there, just to give you some inspiration. But don't feel obligated to follow that by any means. Just send in your stories, whatever they are. Okay, let's get to some letters and stuff. What have I got here? Hi, Ruby. I'm currently in a long-term relationship, but we live separately. We have briefly spoken about pegging in the past, but it's not really something she's keen on. How do I convince her to try it or discreetly find someone to satisfy my urge of being pegged by a woman? Any help would be appreciated. Since you are in a long-term relationship, I would suggest that you try and work it out with your partner first and approach her with the idea, even though it sounds like you already have. Now, you didn't go into a lot of detail about what you've said or what you haven't, but my first question, if you've listened to any of these podcasts, would be, of course, has she listened to podcast number 112? Podcast number 112 I specifically designed for women to listen to after the concept of pegging has been introduced to them by their partner. What it does is it goes through all of the misconceptions and the myths, and it presents it in a very relationship positive way. It gives accurate information. It does not lean heavy in terms of trying to convince. It just gives good information, but it also is very relationship centric in terms of being grateful that your partner has shared this information with you to begin with, because they're letting you know them on a deeper level. So listen to it yourself first. This is what I tell everybody. because only you can decide if it's the right thing for your partner or not. And if you think it's the right thing, then listen to it either with her or send her the link, and maybe that will make a difference. You know, there's an interview I did with the guy in Australia, who was the guy who was actually instrumental in creating the word pegging. His name is Sean. So one of the things that Sean said I really took note of, because basically when he was talking about how he talks to his partners, or talked because he's married now, when he was approaching them about pegging, he would say, you know how you like me being inside you? Well, I would like to feel that too. You know, along with all of the informational stuff about prostate health and orgasms and things like that. So information is what I would recommend for your partner. If you direct her to one of my websites, peggingparadise.com has BDSM kink attached. So if that's not her thing, then send her to pegging101.com, where you will find informational articles only. And if you try that and she's dead set against it, there's not much to do about that. Some people are into it and some people aren't. So it's really important that you have all of your other bases covered. And what I mean by that is it's really important that you have good communication, that you two can talk about sex and talk openly about it and fairly comfortably about it, because you're kind of wanting to do a varsity thing, which is pegging. And if you just kind of bring it up and she says, no, I don't think so, I don't want to do that, and then you let it drop, that's not good communication. That's not discussion. That's not exploring things and being able to listen to each other's desires and talk about them and discuss them. So make sure your communication game is strong. And also make sure that when you two are together, that you're totally taking care of her needs. I don't want to be counseling you on how to get her to peg you if you are not making sure that you absolutely take care of her needs sexually, and fish a little bit and say, you know, is there anything that you've wanted to try that you haven't talked to me about? I'm going to put a link also in the Linkorama for you to read Approaching Your Partner About Pegging, which I initially titled Convincing Your Partner, and I got some flack on that because convince is a strong term. Approaching your partner about it is a much better way to phrase it, because you don't want to put a bunch of pressure on it. And also, you do not want to approach her like you have a disease and you're ashamed and you are embarrassed to even be confessing that you would like anal play. Be excited about it. One more thing to try. I keep having things pop in my head. You could try also putting a butt plug in while you're fucking her and let her watch you have a really awesome, amazing orgasm, okay? Let her see that. Or do some self-exploration and share that really excitedly with her about how intense and amazing it is. Try it with your partner first, see how it goes, and good luck to you, sir. Thanks for writing in. Okay, my next letter was kind of a funny thing. I got an email and a whole bunch of stuff was typed into the subject line. It was too much for the limit on characters in the subject line, and it turns out that he'd typed his paragraph into the subject line. So I wrote him back and said, hey, you want to type that in the body of the letter and resend that? Because I don't know what you said. And without meaning to shame or embarrass or anything like that, this is an example of when I get letters from guys who are just so excited to have found a source of pegging information. But of course, I have all these lovely, sexy photos above every single podcast and almost every post I put up on my blog. In case anybody's surfing for good pegging photos, man, go to my blog and check it, because it's really nice. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that their little heads kind of take over. And I get stuff with, like, no punctuation and really bad spelling and stuff like this. So he responded to my request to have him type his question in the body of the letter with this. I'm sorry about that. Was excited. I stumbled across your website. Pegging is my all-time fantasy. Me and my girlfriend are slowly getting kinky more and more. The farthest I've got her to go is finger my ass while I had her in the stand-up 69. Is it too much to ask for help signing up? Maybe a pic with your strap-on or so much as another friend to talk about my experience? I'd love to talk. Now, the reason I read it that way is there's absolutely no punctuation here. Okay? So, sir, let me respond to your letter. If you would like to go further with your girlfriend and follow the exact same advice that I gave the guy in the letter just before you, go to podcast number 112 and listen to it. Figure out if it's the right thing for her. And if it is, have her listen to it. You can either listen to it with her or not. And then give her information about how prostate massage is a very healthy thing for guys, okay? And it can give you amazingly strong orgasms. So you would be interested in exploring this with her. So you can introduce the subject in that manner and then have her listen to podcast number 112. Now, what was your last question here? Is it too much to ask for help signing up? I'm not sure what you're wanting to sign up for. I don't have the levels of erotica subscriptions anymore because I'm transitioning everything over to Patreon. So Patreon's pretty simple. The link for that is in the upper right-hand side of my website. It's called Become a Donor, and so signing up is easy. If you go to Patreon, it's all pretty much self-explanatory. You do need to click on the link on my website to get to Patreon, however, because since I do put out adult-oriented material, you cannot find me in the search. So if anybody's listening wants to go to Patreon and put in Ruby Rider or Pegging Paradise, you're not going to find me. That's the point of being listed under the adult category, is that you cannot be found by the general public in a search. So there you go. If that's what you mean by signing up, then yeah, that's self-explanatory. The last part is you asked me a pic with my strap-on on. Okay, I can do that. As a happy holidays present to all of you listeners and the people who read my blog, I'm going to put a link to 6 different pictures of me wearing my strap-on. Now, some of these are older because the blog has been there since 2010, and the podcast started a couple of years later, so yeah, some of them are older, and they were definitely before I took a year off of dating, which was the year that I discovered how much gratification I get from dating, and how easy it is to substitute food and some alcohol in place of that, which put 20 pounds on me, everybody listening. I don't know if I've talked about this or not, but 20 pounds, which I am still trying to lose. So there you go. No pictures of me with the 20 pounds on with the strap on because I'm a little self-conscious about that. I'm not used to having this body. Neither are my jeans, which don't fit anymore. But regardless, you, sir, who used no punctuation in your message to me, will be the catalyst for me putting up 6 pictures of me wearing my strap on. Clearly, those are going to be in the Linkorama, so all of you listening are going to have to go to the blog if you want to see them. And as far as talking to me, here's the deal about people wanting to talk to me about pegging. I only have so much time, and if I could get paid for chatting with you guys and getting on the phone and talking with you about pegging all day long, because you are in need of somebody to talk with this about, because, you know, you can't just tell anybody. I've heard that a lot. You're the only person I can tell this to. I wish I could get paid for chatting all day. And you know what? If Patreon supports me enough, I can chat all day. That's the reality of it. Because I know that you need reassurance, you have questions, and you just want to be able to speak freely with someone who's not going to judge you and who is as excited about pegging as you are. But what I would suggest meantime, before Patreon is my sole source of support here, read through a bunch of stuff on my website, and then if you have specific questions, please send those in. Just be concise. I love to hear from people, but just kind of chatting like, so, hey, how'd you find out about pegging? Nah, that, I don't have time. I'm so sorry. There's all that information on my website and in my podcasts. So yes, I am not a chat person, but I will hold space for that if Patreon all of a sudden kicks up above a certain level and I can have all of my bills paid for. I'd be happy to chat with people about pegging. So good luck to you, sir, and thank you for managing to type that message into the body of the letter and send it back to me. Next time, please use punctuation. It's so much easier to read that way. Good luck to you. Here's another letter. Hi, glad to be here to learn and grow. I am 47, married in a sex-positive relationship. I'm the dom, and my wife is the sub. Interestingly enough, we started ass play in the last couple of months. It has been a wonderful journey of discovery and intimacy for both of us. There is no role reversal, but a place of equality and kindness. She really gets off physically and emotionally fucking me, and I have found new pleasures unknown to me before. Thank you for creating a safe, fun, and educational place for all. Well, that's so sweet. And I'm glad to have you on the forum. That's where I got this letter. Definitely one of my goals is education, but also I do try to make it kind of fun because otherwise I can just get way too serious. I think that's part of the shame and the taboo. And of course, another goal is to release all that shame and taboo and shrug it off and get rid of it. And in general, just to get the public to become more accepting of this as a totally fine sexual choice. So I'm really glad that you and wife are having a good time exploring pegging. And I have some questions for you. Did being dominant make it difficult to begin to explore pegging? Because I have questions asked of me sometimes in the BDSM world from the dominant men. Can I do this and still be dominant? So I'm wondering what your journey was like around that. Did you have to kind of get past thinking it meant you were submissive somehow? I'd love to hear back from you if you are so moved to send in more explanation. Okay, the next thing I'm going to talk to you guys about is something I was sent a link to, and it's 5 benefits of prostate massage. This was posted on a place called Hornet, which is self-described as the world's premier gay social network. I think it is some dating stuff too, and there's an app. I'm not familiar with it, but that's how they describe themselves. But it's a great article, so I'm going to read some of it to you, the 5 benefits of prostate massage. And I'll put a link to the whole article in the Linkorama. It's ironic and fitting that I find out a fair amount of information about prostate stuff and anal sex from the gay community. I mean, who would know better, right? But the reason it's ironic is because there's so much of a push with the pegging. It's like, it's not gay. But gay guys certainly know all about this territory, which is somewhat new to heterosexual couples. But it is ironic and fitting, like I said. So the first one listed is better orgasms. Gently massaging the prostate adds extra stimulation that enhances orgasmic pleasure, especially while masturbating. If you're not used to massaging your prostate, the initial feeling may be a little uncomfortable, but experimenting with hands or toys during masturbation can help you find what sensations work best for you. And while better orgasms aren't a medical benefit per se, sex researcher Dr. Howard Friedman has said, and many others believe as well, there's some correlation between sexual satisfaction and healthy lives. Number 2 is increased sexual function. And this turns out to be a really interesting description of that Aneros study that I quote fairly often. And it's funny because I'm going to have to change my numbers. I think I've been saying there's like 200 men in the study. The initial study was 154 men. So here's what it says. In a study of 154 men who used prostate massagers, researchers from the Department of Urology at Columbia University Medical Center in New York City found that 10% reported, quote, increased sexual function and ejaculate, end quote, meaning they found their bodies more responsive to sexual stimulation. Sex therapist Matty Silver also says that prostate massage improves blood flow to the prostate, which increases circulation and can help with impotence. Yay! Number 3, increased amount of ejaculate. I think I may have said this before, but I remember listening to Dan Savage. I listened to him on and off, and I remember some guy called up and said, my girlfriend and I kind of have this ejaculate fetish. The more, the better, right? So is there any way to increase volume? And Dan said, no. And that was years ago. So maybe he doesn't say that now if somebody asked him the same question. But I thought, yes, there is. And the only reason that I knew is because of the pegging. You know, here I am doing the pegging. And I have these guys say, oh my God, I've never come so much. You know, so yeah, that's definitely a way to increase ejaculate. But let me read what it says here before I get totally sidetracked. All right. The Columbia researchers found that 10% of men also reported experiencing better ejaculations as a result of prostate massage. This isn't entirely surprising, seeing as 30% of semen comes from fluid provided by the prostate. Researchers think stimulating the prostate could encourage the production of more fluid, but they say they need more clinical research to determine whether this is actually the case. And number four is decreased prostate pain. In the same study, researchers found that prostate massage reduced the pain symptoms in 80% of men with prostatic hyperplasia, chronic prostatitis, or pelvic pain. Silver adds that prostate massage helps eliminate the buildup of prostatic fluid in the prostate gland ducts, which can lead to prostatitis. While this is good news, researchers admit they didn't track how often each man used his prostate massager, nor did they know whether the men were taking other medications that might have helped alleviate their symptoms. Furthermore, they say a wider study might have to use a larger sample size with men of different races. Their study was mostly white men with a few black and Asian men. They'd also like to see the effects when men use prostate massagers of different sizes. And number five, less shame about anal play. A final observation of Columbia researchers was that encouraging men to use prostate massagers in their own homes can help patients reduce stigma and the, quote, mental burden, end quote, associated with anal insertion and pleasure. Considering how often bottoms are shamed in the gay community for being passive or feminine, increasing awareness about the male G-spot can help encourage men of all sorts to explore their bodies and improve their sexual enjoyment. And clearly it was written this way because it is a gay website, right? But that is a lot of really good information. So if I take that last paragraph and I give it the overlay of heterosexuality instead of the homosexuality because it's a gay website, then what it does is it reduces stigma and the mental burden associated with assuming that people will mistake your sexual orientation if you do anal insertion, because that's the biggest thing that a lot of guys worry about. So yes, there's some applicable stuff in there, and you can kind of lay that over all kinds of different things, but it's a great list of five things, and it is pretty highly based on that study that Ineros did. So yes, I'm going to put a link to the Ineros device as well. So the Ineros device was used in this study, and it wasn't an official study. It was, I think they called a trial. So the trial is sort of to give you an idea whether a study would be warranted. And absolutely, it said the study is warranted. So I'm going to put a link to the actual study if anybody wants to read through it. It gets pretty physiologically specific, but it's pretty cool that it exists at all. And that study was done in 2009. Okay, let's see. What else do I have for you? I have a link to a video. All right, I'll confess. I was porn surfing, and I found this amateur video. And it's of a couple's first use of their new and quite sizable square peg dildo. Now, I've mentioned square peg before because a podcast or two ago, a listener wrote in and suggested one of their toys as a bit of an anal trainer toy, more for depth than for girth. So this is another reference to their toys. And I went to their website and I tried to find out which toy they were using. And to the best of my ability, going from the video and looking on their website, it looks to be the Big Kevin. Okay, that's the name of it. It is nearly 3 inches in diameter. It's a beautiful bronze color, and it is clearly super soft. Now, I kind of wondered, with these toys, what the firmness was, what the texture and firmness of those toys was, because you can order it in regular or super soft. This is clearly super soft, because you can see when she's fucking him how she really has to kind of support it with her hands. Now, I'm not sure how much you'd have to do that with a smaller toy. This is definitely a big one. She has him bent over a kitchen table. It is an anonymous video, so you don't see their faces or anything, but he makes some delicious noises. And for a finale, I don't know if I should spoil it. I think I should, because that, you know, you still get to see it anyway. For the finale, what happens is he turns over and lays on the kitchen table with his legs up, and she fucks him and he jerks himself off and comes. So it's very satisfying and lots of noises and it's awesome. So I'm going to put the link to that in. And also the link to the Big Kevin, just in case you're curious. But that answers a little bit of my questions about what the texture and firmness of those toys is like if they're in super soft. And now I understand better what the other guy wrote in and talked about the Slink, about it's kind of all over the place. I see why that would be the case, because the super soft doesn't seem to, it seems to have barely enough firmness for functionality. So yeah, I get why it'd be kind of a hard to handle all over the place toy, which it wasn't his exact wording, but it was close. So yeah, for you size kings out there, have some fun looking at that one. It looks like a beautiful toy. And here is another letter. Greetings, Ruby. I have a few questions that I would like to ask you and would be really grateful if you could find the time to respond. I've experienced a variety of anal play, but never pegging. This is because just the isolated physical act of pegging is not interesting enough for me, and I crave it only within the context of an intimate relationship. My last girlfriend was open to the idea of pegging me, but as she had never done it, we went through a long phase of exploring a lot of anal play, fingering, rimming, smaller toys, etc. But before we could get on with pegging itself, our relationship ended because of other reasons completely unrelated to sex. All this anal play was quite enjoyable. Now, in my sexual relationships, I have developed quite a craving for them. Someone I started recently dating flat out refused to give me rimming. After much thought about whether we were sexually incompatible, I suggested using dental dams, to which she agreed. I had never used dental dams before, and I was quite disappointed in how much less pleasurable I found the rimming with the dental dam. I wonder if there's something I am missing. It is usually the wet tongue and its contact with the asshole that makes rimming so pleasurable. Is there a way to simulate that pleasure with a partner squeamish about rim jobs? Also, I read your article about the risks of rimming, and as a healthy man with no STIs, having been vaccinated against Hep A and taking a lot of care to clean myself, I feel I should be very safe to be rimmed. I am not having sex with anyone else, while she is polyamorous and dating one other person as well. So I want to ask you a more general question, too. With a new partner, what is a good way to bring up rimming and to make the case that it will be safe to rim me, or to help them understand the social and cultural taboos that make it seem so dirty or disgusting? I would greatly dislike to have rimming be an issue of sexual incompatibility for me, and I believe you may have some ways to resolve my dilemma. I look forward to hearing from you. Wow, a rimming question. How awesome. Okay, so one of the ways that you can make it feel more like a real tongue is to put some lube on the outside of the dental dam. So the dental dam is like a sheet of latex. It's very, very thin. Okay, it's very stretchable. So as you're sticking your tongue through the one side, not through it, but against it, what you need to have on the other side is some lube, because what you're wanting is that wet sensation. And I totally get it. You have heard me say on my podcast, perhaps, there is nothing like a warm, wet tongue to open up an ass. And I may have even written that in the article, The Risks of Rimming, and I'll put a link to that for everyone else as well. So that's what I would suggest for the dental dam. Now, if that still doesn't make a difference, you know, rimming is just kind of something that people do or don't. And once you have really washed well back there, soap, not inside your ass, just around the outside of it, washed with soap and water, I have heard people say, and I don't know where this might be proven or disproven, that if you are sticking your tongue in an ass, that there's more bacteria in a mouth, so that kissing is more likely to spread diseases and stuff like that than tonguing someone's ass. So this is actually a little misleading, because the number of bacteria is not what you want to count. It's the bad bacteria versus the good bacteria, because there's lots of really good bacteria in your mouth as well. The point being, there are definitely risks in doing rimming, And I wrote that article, which I'm going to put a link to, but I'm also going to put a link to someone with some letters after their name who has perhaps better information than I do. Her name is Dr. Pega Wren, and she does advise being more careful about rimming. I mean, there are people who comment on her article and say, hey, I've been doing this for 60 years and no problem, but it pays to have all the information. So for all of you out there listening, I want you to have all the information and know what your risks are. And it's something that I've decided I'm okay with risking, but that doesn't mean that that's what you want to do too. And I'm also going to put the same question answered from Kinsey Confidential. One of the things I wrote about in risks of rimming is that there's a very small chance that you could have ingested something that was infected food, infected with Hep A, and Hep A can actually survive the trip through the digestion and come out your ass, and if someone had their mouth down there, they could contract it. Now, the chances of that are so small, very, very, very small. However, they exist, so it's good to be vaccinated against it. That's awesome. And ideally, your partner should be vaccinated against it too, if you like to do it all the time. I think there's a lot of people out there that really enjoy rimming who don't get vaccinated against it and never have a problem. If you want to be as safe as you can, getting the Hep A vaccine is a good idea. So anyway, back to how do you make a case for it? Like I said, I think it's either something you really like to do or you don't. Talking someone into something, people have an aversion to it, and I'm not sure how easy it is to get past that aversion. If you enthusiastically rim their ass, that might help, and they see how wonderful it feels, and they see how you don't shy away from it. Other than that, I do think that putting your tongue on and in someone's ass is either something you want to do or you don't, and I'm not sure there's much gray area. Some people were raised with all kinds of negative stuff connected with asses. In fact, that's not that unusual. You know, asses are dirty, don't touch your ass, you know, and this kind of thing. So as children, you know, having that sort of feedback can make it difficult as adults to let go of it and enjoy that part of your body. I think that's a big reason why some people just don't enjoy any kind of anal play at all. And some people just say, no, exit only, not going there, because that part is so hard to let go of. Now, I'm not saying that, okay, because of parental negativeness regarding anal areas, that's the only reason that people aren't all enjoying anal play. Anal play is something some people enjoy and other people don't. And you really don't need to kind of dig at the reason, and you do need to respect it. So once given that information, maybe send her to my article. And then enthusiastically performing it on her, that would pretty much be it. And if she still is totally not going there, then that's what you get. I'm not sure, and sure, you can put that on your dating profile if you do online dating and say, you know, totally into ass play, really enjoy receiving and giving rimming. And if that puts people off, well, that's a good filter for you, absolutely. Or you can bring it up in the first couple of dates, like Dan Savage says, you got to lay your kink cards on the table pretty soon. And so, you know, if this is something that is a deal breaker, then ideally you'd want to lay those kink cards on the table fairly quickly. There is some disagreement or discussion as to whether that should be before you have sex with them or not. That's an interesting topic of conversation that I'm probably going to bring up at a party some point and listen to everybody's opinions on it, because Dan Savage has said, you know, show them that you can do vanilla sex okay first. You know, let them take you for a spin in bed, have sex a couple of times, and then lay your kink cards out on the table. I don't do that because I'm so heavily into what I love, which is the pegging, that it is a deal breaker. There is no point for me to spend the time getting to know someone and enjoying their company and having vanilla sex with them if they're not into pegging. There's really no point at all because it's such a big part of my life. So I guess you need to decide how big of a part of your life this is and how much of a deal breaker it is. Because if it's a really, really intense deal breaker, you want to put it out there pretty quick. So that is the best advice I have for you. All of those links I mentioned are going to be in the Linkorama. And good luck to you. I hope you have a warm, wet tongue up your ass very soon, sir. Thanks for writing in with the question. Here's one more letter that really made me smile. There were some blessings to the fire, right? Well, I think I may have mentioned already, and if I didn't, I've said it to people, but perhaps not put it on my podcast, that one of the blessings of the fire is there's firemen everywhere, and firemen are fucking hot. Anyway, here's the letter I got. It was from LA Fireman, and the subject is The Fire. The message body reads this. Glad to see you and your home are fine. Crazy couple of weeks, with more winds to come. Hope you're doing well. I just happen to be a Southern California firefighter that likes to be pegged. I love your site. Thanks. Well, that's a thrill. Even if he's anonymous, that's a thrill. That's awesome. So, yes. Blessings from the fire, more connections with the firemen who love to be pegged, because I know you guys are out there. I know you are. So, Mr. Fireman, if you are listening, thank you for sending that. That was very sweet. Okay, and another, I guess I could call it a letter. I'm giving you guys an example of some of the things that I get. I'm sort of trying to clean out my letters box and answer everyone's. And this, I'm embarrassed to admit, is from back in July of 2017. And when I read it, you'll understand why I went on to other letters and didn't answer this one. All it says is, I can't seem to get the right spot. That's all it says, okay? That's the body of the letter. And for the subject, it says, not prostate, but rostate, R-O-S-T-A-T-E. So, yeah, I kind of passed that one up because there were other ones that were a little more wordy, a little more clear, and that kind of thing. However, if you can't seem to get the right spot and you are doing initial beginning anal exploration, which I recommend all men to do before they experience pegging with a partner, then I'm going to post the link to solo play for newbies, because that'll give you a bit of an idea. And it kind of goes like this. As long as you, if you look at the map of where your prostate is, right, and you start to play and you're kind of cruising around and doing things and you're not feeling much of anything, you can either keep exploring and try slightly different areas in the same general vicinity, or you can try it again a day or two later, or you can try a different toy. There's a bunch of different things that you can do. I am going to put a link to the podcast where I read the experience of a guy who wrote into Reddit and talked about how he went from a doubter to I believe he said, a disciple of prostate play. And he ended up having multiple orgasms, like, boom, right off the bat, which is unusual. But my point is that he was kind of fishing around for, you know, 20 minutes or so. So it's not a, you know, do it and done and just a couple of minutes and I don't feel anything. See, I made this same mistake when I was looking for my G-spot. And I use the same words when I talk about it. I fished around a little bit and went, you know, I'm really not impressed. And I hadn't ever felt G-spot stimulation during intercourse. I think the best sensation that I get from intercourse is from what they call the anterior fornices, which are on either side of the cervix, fairly deep in there. And when I feel that is when I'm having intercourse with a guy and my legs are like up over his shoulders and he's going really deep inside me. And it's at just the right angle. And it has to be just right, because otherwise it turns into like a cervix pounding and that's no fun for me. But for the G-spot, nope, never really felt that so much. And that was my own exploration. If anybody had asked me, I'd kind of go, yeah, I'm not really believing in the G-spot because, you know, fished around, didn't feel anything, not finding it, right? And then that fateful night of the ex-boyfriend, who was a geek, probably still is, don't know, haven't talked to him in years. And he introduced me to my G-spot, and he watched some videos on YouTube, checked it out, and then brought that technique to the bedroom, right? hotel bedroom, if you must know. I've told the story enough times, right? It's not like I'm revealing new information. Anyhow, wow, that really made a difference. And basically, you know, it was like he was playing around and doing these different things, and it started to feel really, really good when he touched one spot. Now, there was sort of a combination of feeling of, wow, that feels really good, and wow, it feels like I might have to pee. And this is a very common description of men for prostate stimulation as well. So you're going to be curving towards your belly button. I would say probably one of the better toys to explore yourself with, because sometimes it's hard to reach with fingers if you're not young and limber, would be the Enjoy Pure One. That is the best. And the reason it's the best is because that's what he designed it for. I got that from the man's lips himself when I was at a Catalyst Con years ago. Greg DeLong, that's who designed that. He's an engineer and he wanted to design something to play with his ass. Leave it up to you blessed engineers out there. Gotta love you. Just as much as the firemen, if you have to know, right? Because who would be making these bitchin' toys if it weren't for the engineers, right? It's not the firemen. No competition, guys, right? No competition. You're all awesome. But if you get one of those Enjoy Pure wands and explore with that, it's a pretty amazing thing. Now, you could start off with other toys as well. You said you haven't found the right spot. Well, you were kind of short on information, and I'm not sure what you've tried and what you haven't. Some guys start off with the Aneros, and they don't feel a whole lot. Some guys really need some vibration there to get things kind of woken up. Some guys need a lot of stimulation, but not vibration to get things woken up. And a small number of men out there never feel much of anything. Whether or not that's because they haven't found the right spot, they haven't, you know, persisted, if you will, it's really impossible to tell. I mean, does every guy have a P spot, as they call it, the prostate spot? I don't know. Who knows? Does every woman have a G spot? I would hazard to guess that it's not only a consequence of lack of technique, that there are people out there who just really don't respond much to those spots, be it the G spot or the prostate. But if you haven't tried kind of going for it with a toy or for a longer period of time or with something that vibrates, I'd give it a try. And I'm going to send an email to let you know that I'm responding to this message that you sent me in July of this year. Please excuse the delay and let us know how it goes, if you find your spot or not. Good luck to you, sir. Okay, and on this day after Christmas, that's it. For this podcast, you can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Or you can go to pegging101.com, where you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page if you so desire. And if you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, do not use the coupon code RIDER if you get those toys before December 30th. Use the coupon code VIBEHIGHER as described in the beginning of this podcast and get 25% off of your purchase. Woohoo! Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too stupid, too silly, or too sexy. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.